damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
On this 4th of July, there's much to discuss, a lot of which is very disturbing. I think we mustn't forget the founding principles of this nation, some of which are being reaffirmed by the newly composed Supreme Court, and that I applaud on the Second Amendment, for example, very significant. Possibly even more telling about the EPA cutting back on the power of the administrative state. And I have, of course, shared my reservations about Roe, but many are very, very happy with regard to that decision as well. And while the Democrats may believe Roe in particular is going to help them with regard to the midterm, it falls so far down the scale in terms of issues of greatest importance, inflation being overwhelmingly the greatest, the mess of the economy, the immigration crisis, food supply, food shortages, gas prices, all suffocate abortion. But where we have some 78% of American voters across a political spectrum believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. And that, of course, has been a highly reliable evidential indicator of what is going to happen at a midterm election. And it points to a wipeout, a complete wipeout. Some commentators are saying they've never seen anything like it, this percentage of disillusionment with the country. Very, very powerful stuff. Rationing has already begun in Europe as the entire globe plunges into a horrific nightmare. If countries in Europe are already beginning to ration because of supply problems, how long will it be before it begins in the United States? Many of us thought it would never happen here, that we're far superior to unsophisticated poor countries, but Biden has been doing his best to turn us into a second world nation, if not a third. Even wealthy countries can experience painful shortages, and we know now that they're actually being engineered, that there's nothing about this that is happening by chance. It's all quite deliberate. Greek supermarkets are rationing the sale of sugar, flour, sunflower oil, oversupply problems. One's setting maximum limit on all brands of corn and sunflower oil. I mean, which is far more important to cooking in Greece than it is here in the United States. Similar measures are being implemented in other European countries. Sporadic shortages of products like eggs, meat, milk, other dairy products have hit Spain. Stores will be temporarily closed to limit the number of goods that can be bought by a client. My goodness. Natural gas, obviously, is the next biggie in Europe. The flow of Russian natural gas has been cut way back. In part, this was because of Western sanctions that the Nord Stream, this is Nord Stream 1, was delivering 176 million cubic meters of gas per day to Europe. But because of a turbine to maintain the pressure in the pipes that had to be overhauled in Montreal, and because of the sanctions imposed by the Western nations, Canada has been unable to return the turbine to Russia, which has of necessity then, because it was technically impossible to do more, or physically, I mean, we're talking about the laws of physics here, it cut down to 100 million cubic meters of gas. I mean, that's a very substantial drop. Not quite 50%, but getting pretty damn close. And obviously, that's going to have a huge effect. Italy may start rationing natural gas consumption. CNN is reporting Germany to be one step closer to rationing supplies. They're in the second phase of a three-stage gas emergency program, a step that would deliver a huge blow to its manufacturing, and Germany is the industrial giant of Europe. Other parts of the globe are dealing with problems that are even more serious. Significant numbers are literally starting to drop dead from starvation in portions of East Africa. Global food supplies just keep getting tighter. The head of the UN openly telling us the world is turning into an unprecedented, heading into an unprecedented global hunger crisis. So if you have plenty of food to eat tonight, be thankful, but don't take for granted you're going to have that opportunity indefinitely into the future. Here in the United States, economic conditions are deteriorating fairly rapidly. Most Americans are completely and totally unprepared for a major economic downturn. 60% of Americans are currently living paycheck to paycheck. Get this. We find consumers at all income brackets, including those who make more than $100,000 annually, are living paycheck to paycheck. Payments, PYMNTS, research finds 61% of U.S. consumers are living paycheck to paycheck. They were in April of 2022, marking a 9% increase from 52% in April of 2021. In other words, 9% more in a year, meaning that approximately 3 in 5 U.S. consumers devote nearly all of their salaries to expenses, with little or nothing left over. So what's going to happen when they start losing their jobs in large numbers? We've already seen the number of tech layoffs greatly accelerate over the last few months. Sadly, the layoffs are going to get worse as inflation continues to systematically eat away at our standard of living. Americans are turning to credit cards at a record pace. As Americans grapple with the highest inflation in 40 years, the number of new credit cards has surged as more Americans rely upon them to keep up with high prices. According to a recent report from the Fed, revolving credit increased from 19.6 the previous year to $1.103 trillion. Going into credit card debt is, of course, not a solution. At best, it buys you a little more time. And it's especially bad to go into credit card debt as we plunge into a recession. At this point, almost everyone realizes things are going to get bad. According to one recent poll, a whopping 85%, I was saying, what, 78? 85% of all Americans believe the U.S. is headed in the wrong direction. The national dissatisfaction is bipartisan. Most Americans, 85%, say the country is headed in the wrong direction. A majority of Republicans have been unhappy since Biden's election. Democrats have been positive, but now 78% of Democrats say the country is headed in the wrong direction. I was astounded to see 78% of Democrats believe the U.S. is headed in the wrong direction with a Democrat in the White House. I've never seen a number like that ever before. And that's the author for Investment Watch blog, whose name is Michael. But I sure agree with Michael. This is staggering. Now, there are three really significant blogs I just published this morning. Some revelations here are quite fascinating, including one by Jeffrey A. Tucker. This is fascinating. Anyone who's harbored any doubts about Trump, and of course some are very upset because of his support for the vax, which turns out to have been a calamity. But if you want to appreciate how much Trump understood the problems facing this country and was up for doing something about it, get this. The astonishing implications of Schedule F, Cleaning Out the Deep State by Jeffrey A. Tucker. And I'm going to read most of this. You'll find it on my blog, one of the three most recent, which are really, each of them, very significant. 2 weeks before the 2020 general election, on October 21st, 2020, Donald Trump issued an executive order, EO-13957, on creating Schedule F in the accepted service. Presidential documents, executive order, creating Schedule F in the accepted service. It sounds boring. Actually, it would have fundamentally changed in the best possible way the entire functioning of the administrative bureaucracy that rules this country in a way that bypasses both the legislative and judicial process and has ruined the checks and balances inherent in the U.S. Constitution. The administrative state, for the better part of a century, and really going back to the Pendleton Act of 1883, has designed policy, made policy, structured policy, implemented policy, and interpreted policy while operating outside the control of Congress, the president, and the judiciary. The gradual rise of this fourth branch of government, which is very much the most powerful branch, has reduced the American political process to mere theater as compared with the real activity of government, which rests with a permanent bureaucracy. Any new president can hire the heads of agencies, and they can hire staff, which are known as political appointees. There are 4,000 political appointees ostensibly, who rule the 432 agencies as listed by the federal government, as well as some 2.9 million employees, aside from military and postal workers, who effectively inhabit permanent jobs. This permanent state, sometimes called the deep state, knows the ropes and the processes of government far better than any temporary political appointee, thus reducing the appointed jobs to cosmetic positions for the press to hound, while the real actions of government take place behind the scene. From 2020 and onward, the American people got to know the administrative state well. They ordered us to wear masks. They deployed their influence to close small businesses and churches. They limited how many people we could have in our homes. They festooned our businesses with plexiglass, told everyone to stay 6 feet apart. They demanded 2 weeks of quarantine when crossing state borders. They decide which medical procedures were elective and non-elective. and they finally demanded compliance with vaccine mandates at the penalty of job loss. None of this was ordered by legislation. It was all invented on the spot by the permanent staff of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We had no idea they had such power, but they do. And that same power, which allowed these egregious attacks on rights and liberties, also belonged to the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Labor, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Homeland Security, and all the rest. Donald Trump came into office with a promise of draining the swamp without understanding entirely what that meant. He gradually came to realize that he had no control over most of the affairs of government, not because he had no patience for the legislative process, but because he had no ability to terminate the employment of most of the civilian bureaucracy, nor could his political appointees control it. The media, he gradually came to realize, echoed the priorities and concerns of this administrative state due to long-established relationships that led to nonstop leaks that spread false information. In May of 2018, he took the first steps to gain some modicum of control over this deep state. He issued three executive orders, 13837, 13836, 13839, that would have diminished their access to labor union protection when being pressed on the terms of their employment. Those three orders were litigated by the American Federation of Government Employees and 16 other federal unions. Un momento. All three were struck down by a decision by a D.C. District Court whose presiding judge was, guess who, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was later rewarded for her decision with a nomination to the Supreme Court, which was affirmed by the U.S. Senate. The prevailing and openly stated reason for nomination was said to be mostly demographic. She would be the first black woman on the court. The deeper reason was more likely traceable to her role in thwarting actions by Trump, which had begun the process of upending the administrative state. Jackson's judgment was later reversed, but Trump's actions were embroiled in a juridical tangle that rendered them moot. Following the lockdowns of mid-March of 2020, Trump became increasingly frustrated with the CDC and Anthony, Tony the Rat as I call him, Fauci in particular. Trump was profoundly aware that he had no power to fire the man, despite his epically terrible role in prolonging COVID lockdowns long after Trump wanted to open up to save the American economy and society. Trump's next step was radical and brilliant. The creation of a new category of federal employment. It was called Schedule F. Employees of the federal government classified as Schedule F would have been subject to control by the elected president and other representatives. Who are they? They are those who met the following criteria. Positions of a confidential, policy-determining, policy-making, or policy-advocating character, not normally subject to change as a result of a presidential transition, shall be listed in Schedule F. In appointing an individual to a position in Schedule F, each agency shall follow the principle of veteran preference as far as administratively feasible. Schedule F employees would be fired. "You're fired" was a slogan that made Trump TV famous. With this order, he would be in a position to do the same to the federal bureaucracy. The order further demanded a thorough review throughout the government. Each head of an executive agency is defined in Section 105 of Title V United States Code, but excluding the Government Accountability Office, shall conduct, within 90 days of the date of this order, a preliminary review of agency positions covered by Subchapter 2 of Chapter 75 of Title 5 United States Code, and shall conduct a complete review of such positions within 210 days of the date of this order. The Washington Post, surprise, surprise, in an editorial expressed absolute shock and alarm at the implications. The directive from the White House issued late Wednesday sounds technical, creating a new Schedule F within the accepted service of the federal government for employees in policymaking roles and directing agencies to determine who qualifies. Its implications, however, are profound and alarming. It gives those in power the authority to fire more or less at will as many as tens of thousands of workers currently in the competitive civil service, from managers to lawyers to economists to, yes, scientists. This week's order is a major salvo in the president's onslaught against a cadre of dedicated civil servants whom he calls a deep state, who are really the greatest strength of the U.S. government, according to the Washington Post. 90 days after October 1st, 2021, would have been January 19, 2021, the day before the new president was to be inaugurated. The Washington Post commented ominously, "Mr. Trump will try to realize his sad vision in his second term unless voters are wise enough to stop him." Biden was declared the winner, due mostly to mail-in ballots, and we know how that all came about. I've introduced a discussion about 2,000 mules, which all by itself was sufficient, using these paid mules to stuff ballot boxes with phony ballots for Biden at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning, some getting $10 a ballot but having to take selfies in order to collect their paycheck. 2,000 mules is devastating. And the beneficiary was Biden. On January 21st, 2021, the day after inauguration, Biden reversed the order. It was one of his first actions as president. No wonder, because, as The Hill reported, this executive order would have been the biggest change to federal workforce protections in a century, converting many federal workers to at-will employment. How many federal workers and agency would have been newly classified at Schedule F? We do not know, because only one completed the review before their jobs were saved by the election result. The one that did was a Congressional Budget Office. Its conclusion? Fully 88% of employees would have been newly classified as Schedule F, thus allowing the president to terminate their employment. This would have been a revolutionary change, a complete remake of Washington, D.C. and all politics as usual. Trump's EO 13957 was a dagger aimed directly at the heart of the beast. It might have worked. It would have gotten us closer to the restoration of a constitutional system of government in which we have three, not four, branches of government that are wholly controlled by the people's representatives. It would have gone a long way toward getting the administrative toward gutting the administrative state of its power and returning the affairs of state to the people's control. Frankly, it's a perfect complement to my recommendations of, number one, abolishing all electronic voting machines, returning to paper ballots and hand counts. Number two, getting rid of gerrymandered voting districts using the Iowa model as a basis. Number three, getting private money out of federal elections, which all should be funded by public. And number four, restoring the draft to engage American families once again in decisions of war or peace, knowing that now, again, their sons and daughters' future and well-being would be at stake. But this, gutting the deep state, may be the most profound of all. The action was stopped dead due to the election result. Whatever one's view of Trump, one has to admire the brilliance of this executive order. It shows that Trump would come to understand the problem and actually innovate a fundamental solution, or at least a beginning of one. The deep state, as we've come to know it, would have been curbed, and we would have taken a step toward creating the system that existed before the Pendleton Act of 1883. Many efforts have been deployed throughout the years to regain constitutional control over the permanent bureaucracy. An example, the Hatch Act of 1939, which forbids employees of the government to work for political campaigns. That act turned out to be toothless. One does not need to work for a campaign to skew one's labor in the direction of always granting the federal government more power and control, and largely made irrelevant in the succeeding decades. Trump came to office promising to drain the swamp, but it was very late in his term before he figured out the means at his disposal to do just that. His final effort took place merely 2 weeks before the election that was decided in favor of his opponent, Biden, who quickly reversed this action just 2 days following the deadline of an ordered review that would have reclassified and thus gained control over a sizable portion of the administrative state.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
With virtually the entirety of the administrative state permanent bureaucracy opposed to Trump because he was threatening to remove their entitlement to a lifetime position, essentially immune from losing their positions, you can well appreciate that there was going to be no resistance to the grand theft of the election by the Democrats using mail-in balloting as a mechanism, among many others. I mean, if you watched Mike Lindell's three-day marathon, he had a dozen experts demonstrating dozens of ways in which the election was stolen, including, for example, in Georgia, where they had a suitcase full of ballots under a table. After they sent everyone home, they began running those ballots through the counting machines. They'd run the same ballot over and over again, the same ballot 10, maybe 100 times would be counted, which is why we had this bizarre outcome that a guy that nobody liked, who'd run for president three times, he'd never won a single caucus or a single primary until South Carolina, when James Clyburn came out to support him, and they began stealing the election using Zuckbucks, where Mike Zuckerberg put up staggering amount of money, roughly, I think, $500 million, in order to steal these elections. I mean, it was just outrageous. But you can see where, and where the popularity of Biden was so remote, he couldn't draw a decent crowd. Even they had some of his events in drive-in theaters where they'd have people just pull in cars to try and make it look as though it were impressive. If you had an actual, they were all distance, you know, separate 6 feet, but there wouldn't be a dozen people there. Right before the election, just 2 days in Phoenix, there was a joint appearance between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. A joint appearance. You'd think, given the astronomical popularity of this man, with allegedly winning 81 million votes, more so than any other candidate in history, it would have been a big draw. But the total number who showed out, fewer than the fingers of one hand, actually zero. The only ones who were there were reporters. And we're supposed to believe this guy was the overwhelming choice of the American people. And the Democrats vilify anyone who challenges, including Donald Trump, who knew most of all that this was a massively stolen election. And where even at that, he was very restrained, in my opinion. Yes, he did give a speech at the Ellipse, which was a mile and a half away from the Capitol on January 6th, a speech that did not end until 1:11, where we know these events at the Capitol began at 12:45. We know they were all involved infiltration. We have James, a brother of John Sullivan, reporting he led 226 Antifa members dressed as Trump supporters into the Capitol, a sign that they were fake, wearing their MAGA hats backwards. And then you had the infiltration by a massive number of federal infiltrators who were wearing a special bracelet, a multicolored bracelet to identify them. And yet agitators throughout, including this Ray Epps guy especially, these were the individuals who were egging on the destruction of the Capitol, smashing windows, climbing the walls. These were not Trump supporters. And mind you, Donald had already signed an executive order authorizing 20,000 National Guard troops to secure the Capitol on January 4th. And if you want to ask how shameless are these Democrats in running this Soviet-style show trial in Washington, D.C., and thinking everyone's supposed to swoon, well, there's no opposition, there's no cross-examination, no one is standing up for the other side. It's fallen so flat that the networks have seen their viewership drop by over 50%. NBC even cut away to golf, a rich white man's sport, because they were losing their audience. No one gave a damn. And they think this is going to save their prospects for the midterm elections. Not on your life. With Executive Order 12003, protecting the federal workforce, Biden saved the deep state's bacon, leaving the efforts finally to drain the swamp to another day and another president. Still, Executive Order 13957 exists in the archives as a possible path forward to restore checks and balances in the U.S. system of government. A new Congress could also take such steps, at least symbolically. Until something takes place to restore the people's control of the administrative state, a sort of Damocles will continue to hang over the entire country, and we will never be safe from another round of lockdowns and mandates. Should a genuinely reformist president ever take office, this executive order must be issued on the very first day. Trump waited too long, but that mistake need not be repeated. And you can access the executive order in the White House archives from my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Now, what this tells us is Donald Trump really did have the best interests of America at heart. He really did want America great again. And I believe he is genuine and sincere, and that he is not a creature of the Zionists, though he has shown deference to Israel. And frankly, the Israeli lobby exercises so much control over Congress. Cynthia McKinney revealed back in 2011 during an interview on Press TV, which is the Iranian news service, that all new members of Congress are asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of those even of the United States. And if they do not sign the pledge, and virtually no one declines, then they find their financing is dried up, they're confronted with a well-financed alternative candidate, even that their district's been redrawn, they no longer have a seat. Where Cynthia was able to overcome those obstacles and serve 6 or 8 terms in the House. But even as notable a figure as Dennis Kucinich, whom I've long admired, as at the time having been the smartest member of Congress, had his district redrawn and could not continue to serve. I interviewed Cynthia about this because I so admired what she did, and she told me she thought everybody knew. She didn't realize she was getting a cat out of the bag. But the point is, it's virtually impossible to get anything done in Washington if you aren't being responsive to Israel's interests because of the grip, the lock, the hammer they hold over Congress. I mean, it's disgusting and repulsive. It's a reality. Trump, I believe, is a very realistic guy. He sees problems and he seeks to solve them. But it may take him a while to size it up, as it did here with regard to the senior executive service, which is the bureaucracy that continues to run the government while administrations come and go, over which if a new administration, a new president like Trump wants to make a difference, he's got to get control over the SES. And this very ingenious, indeed brilliant idea of Schedule F was a way to do it. So I'm telling you, on July 4th, we ought to pay respect to Donald Trump for what he sought to do on behalf of the American people. Flawed? Man is flawed? I acknowledge he's flawed. I'll tell you, in my lifetime, the only other figure who connected with the American people, as did DJT, was JFK. And when I watched on those hills of Pennsylvania, when Trump descended in a helicopter and there were tens of thousands waiting for him there, it was awe-inspiring. Among the most moving moments I've ever witnessed in my lifetime, which now exceeds 8 decades. So when it comes to following the political process, and my father was keenly interested in politics, so I had a sensitivity to political developments virtually my entire life, but have become much more involved since I began doing research on the assassination of 1963, where I had the joyful experience this weekend of having lunch with my dear friend and collaborator, David W. Mandick, MD, PhD, who's the leading expert on the medical evidence, where he and I began our joint efforts in 1992. I'll just tell you, this guy Trump is really an amazing guy, and he has made a connection with the American people unlike that of any other political figure save JFK of my lifetime. None of the others even come close, and that includes Ronald Reagan, for whom many had great admiration, but honestly, it was more superficial. Reagan was viewed more like a grandfather. Trump, more like a father, more like a figure who could get things done, more like someone who cared about you, who cared about the whole American family. And for that, we must honor and respect him. My take. And I respect the right of every other American to have a differing point of view. That's one of the great things, or has in the past, been of the United States. Everyone's entitled to have their own opinion. The Democrats don't like the First Amendment. They don't like freedom of speech. They don't like freedom of the press. They want everyone to be in lockstep with their overzealous ideological commitment to wokeness and political correctness and transgenderism and defunding the police and mass migration, every one of which is doing massive damage to the United States. Massive damage to the United States. Mark my words. Never in the history of the Republic has there been a political party that has abused its position of power and authority to damage the American people, to undermine the American economy, to flood the nation, to change the demographics, just to be destructive. I know of not a single action that this fake Biden has taken since he came into office that was constructive and did anything to benefit the American people. Not a single one. Not one. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Unbelievable. And of course, it's because he's just a figurehead. He's just a puppet. They're just using the powers of his office with this figurehead who's cognitively incompetent, who has to be given notes on when to stand up and when to sit down, who is like, as Vanna described herself, as a letter turner. This guy Biden is a word reader. That's all he is. Friends of mine traveled to Abu Dhabi for the last week and came back telling me how different it was, the perception of the United States, Ukraine, and the whole bit from that perspective. Abu Dhabi, of course, is a capital of the United Arab Emirates and one of the most modern cities in the world. It's actually a fantastic place if you check into it. It stands to the world as San Francisco used to stand to the United States, as, you know, just a fabulous place. Long since, of course, San Francisco has decayed. It's now the feces capital of the universe. By measures I've seen, there are more feces per square yard in San Francisco than any other location in the world, third world or not. And, of course, that's Nancy Pelosi's hometown. That's just a reflection of how much she cares about the American people. She doesn't even give a damn about her own district. Just stunning. And anyone who believes in the Democratic Party after what we've been living through this last year plus just really has not been paying attention. Well, you got to pay attention. Our future, our lives are at stake, and frankly, they've been dramatically shortened by this Biden administration already since it came into office. The actions they are taking are shortening the lifespan of all but the super rich in the United States. They are affecting every one of us. They're affecting our children. The vax is even killing and maiming in staggering number. Trump could have done something about it if he had the power to fire Fauci, if he could have got rid of the CDC, the FDA. The FDA is voting unanimously to give this jab to little babies, to toddlers, who are absolutely immune. They've got no risk whatsoever from COVID, but they have a tremendous risk from the shots. And it turns out in every country now where they're given the shots, the reproduction rate, the birth rate is falling dramatically. That if they don't kill you, they're going to make you sterile. I mean, that's what this is all about. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. Now, if you want to look at the big picture here regarding COVID, another new entry on my blog today, Margaret Anna Ellis, a mostly peaceful depopulation. Remember how we heard when Antifa and BLM were rioting, looting, and setting fire to our cities, the Democrats were describing it as mostly peaceful demonstration, mostly peaceful, rioting, looting, arson, even murder, mostly peaceful. Well, now we're in the midst of a mostly peaceful depopulation. This is quite sensational. I won't go through it all, but I'll go through a big enough chunk that you'll certainly get the message and understand what she is very astutely delineating here. Notes for my Corona Investigative Committee interview. I had the great honor of being interviewed by Dr. Reiner Fulmich, Vivian Fischer, and Dr. Wolfgang Wodard during session 111, reconciliation of the Corona Investigative Committee, whose heroic fact-finding discussions with hundreds of physicians, scientists, and other experts since July 2020 have formed a crucial part of my own education. They asked me to speak on the depopulation agenda explored in my Anatomy of a Philanthropath series. I regret that I overestimated how much I could cram into 50-odd minutes, so was unable to complete my presentation before the next guest arrived in the studio. I let them know I would be publishing my notes here so people can read the information I skipped over and reference the hyperlinked sources. So what we have here is what appears to me to have been a PowerPoint presentation. It's very nicely organized. It's very complete and comprehensive, and you can find it on my blog at jamesfetcher.org. A retrospective in whys. Since the beginning of this manufactured crisis, the Berlin Corona Investigative Committee has been conducting the exploratory work that I would have expected every government and so-called public health organization to have undertaken from the outset. The fact that this did not occur was one of the first signs that COVID represented a departure from all prior pandemic protocols. But the question I kept asking myself is, why? Here are some of the permutations of that question I started asking, beginning in early 2020 and continuing through the present day. Totalitarianism. Why are governments, public health agencies, the media, big tech, and experts stoking fear instead of calmly assessing the data and attempting to dispel panic, like every responsible authority has done for genuine crises in the past? Why are all of these entities speaking in unison with a single voice, as if everyone has been handed the same script? Why are they covering COVID 24/7 on every available outlet, drumming up the death tallies and case counts and behaving as if it were the only newsworthy story on the planet? Why are people all suddenly parroting the same phrases like social distancing, new normal, build back better, and the Orwellian doublethink gem, together apart? Why does it seem like everyone has suddenly lost their capacities for critical thinking, reasoning, logic, and scientific analysis? Why are they encouraging discrimination against those who refuse to comply with unscientific and nonsensical guidelines? Why did they turn the world into an open-air prison? Why are governments patterning their policies after Biederman's chart of coercion? A tool designed to demonstrate and explain the coercive methods of stress manipulation and to torture prisoners of war, Biederman's chart of coercion has been applied to explain the coercive techniques used by perpetrators of domestic abuse. This list directly reflects Albert Biederman's original 1956 chart. Is divided into methods, effect and purpose, and variance. And there are about eight of them. First method, isolation. Effect and purpose, deprives victim of all social support of their ability to resist, develops an intense concern with self. This could be home environment, makes victim dependent. Variance, complete solitary confinement, complete or partial isolation, group isolation. Second method, monopolization of perception, effect and purpose, fixes attention upon immediate predicament, eliminates information not in compliance with demands, punishes independence and or resistance. Variance, physical isolation, darkness or bright light, restricted movement, monotonous food. Get that, monotonous food. That is in our future. Method third, humiliation and degradation. Effect and purpose, makes resistance more costly than compliance. Animal level concerns. Variance, personal hygiene prevented. Demeaning punishments, insults and taunts. Denial of privacy. The next method, exhaustion. Effect and purpose, weakens mental and physical ability to resist. Variance, semi-starvation, sleep deprivation, prolonged interrogation over exertion. The fifth, threats. effect and purpose, creates anxiety and despair, outlines cost of noncompliance, variance, threats to kill, threats of abandonment, non-return, threats against family, vague threats, mysterious changes of treatment. Next method, occasional indulgences. Effect and purpose, positive motivation for compliance, hinders adjustment to deprivation, occasional favors, rewards for partial compliance, promises, two more. Demonstrating omnipotence suggests futility of resistance, confrontation, showing complete control over a victim's face, and forcing trivial demands, such as wearing masks. Develops habit of compliance, enforcement of rules. This is really a deep dive into what the hell we're living through, and it is stunning. It is mind-boggling. And you want to go through it all. Remember, you have access. It's right there on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Right after this break, we'll continue today on this 4th of July. Think about your country, what it means to you, and where the hell we're heading. Because it ain't good. None of it.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, this is a drill, on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Hey, Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
She continues, why does it feel like we're being subjected to a permanent Milgram obedient Stanford prison Ash conformity experiment? Why are big tech and big media silencing people, especially scientists, physicians, and other knowledgeable individuals who are most qualified to speak about these matters? Why are California and the federal government threatening physicians with loss of their licenses for spreading misinformation, which happens to be based on scientifically demonstrable evidence and clinical experience? Why are such extreme measures being taken for a disease with an infinitesimal fatality rate that primarily only affects those who are already likely to die, namely the elderly and those with serious comorbidities? Why are governments rewriting human rights policies and revising statutes to allow the forced quarantining of healthy individuals? Why are ordinary working-class Canadians who are bravely protesting authoritarian policies being vilified by the media and their leaders? Why are they pushing for international health regulation amendments that would grant an unelected bureaucracy an accused genocidal war criminal control over the entire world's public health policy? Why is the WHO drafting a pandemic accord that would give it the ability to set a one health policy for all member states and seize supranational powers in times of declared public health emergencies? Why are Australians and New Zealanders being bullied, abused, arrested, and quarantined like they're living in a police state? Why are so many colluders willingly serving as implements of tyranny? Why aren't people worried that the 10 stages of genocide are unfolding before our eyes? Why do people think relinquishing their liberties in exchange for safety is temporary, when it's never been so in the past? Why are so many people belligerently bamboozled? Why are values such as independent thought, integrity, ethics, freedom, transparency, and individuality being denigrated, while groupthink, obedience, complicity, prejudice, collectivism, fear, rage, and hatred are being promoted? Why are governments and employers mandating vaccines and pushing for vaxports when they've been proven both unsafe and ineffective? Why does it feel like we're living in a dystopian fairy tale? Harmful and illogical health policies. Why aren't health authorities making dietary, lifestyle, and supplement recommendations that would bolster people's immunity? Like encouraging them to eat healthy, reduce their stress levels, get proper sleep, exercise, enjoy sunshine and fresh air, and practice other habits that help prevent illness. Why aren't they focusing on the conventional practices for preventing respiratory illnesses, such as washing your hands and staying home when you have symptoms? Why are we being commanded to trust the science when scientific inquiry is a continually evolving process and requires transparency and diverse viewpoints to progress? Why are they suddenly telling us asymptomatic spread exists when there's no evidence for such transmission and no studies demonstrating it's occurred with past coronaviruses? Why are they pretending there's no such thing as natural immunity? Why did they previously redefine pandemic to exclude simultaneous epidemics worldwide with enormous numbers of deaths and illnesses? Why did they change the definition of herd immunity to inject the idea that it's acquired through vaccination, when it was previously understood by immunologists and virologists to be achieved naturally when a virus spreads throughout a community? Why did they change the definition of vaccine, fully vaccinated, cause of death in case, for that matter? Why did they censor Bakersfield doctors Dan Erickson and Artin Masui when they provided sensible, experience-based, and reassuring textbook information about COVID transmission, treatment, and herd immunity at their April 22, 2020 press conference? Why are they using PCR tests to calculate case counts when their Nobel Prize-winning creator said, it allows you to take a very minuscule amount of anything and make it measurable and then talk about it in meetings and stuff like it is important? Why did Fauci, as I like to call him, Dr. Mengel Fauci, first tell the truth about masks not working, then lie about them working, then say he lied when he originally told the long-established truth that masks are ineffective for respiratory viruses? And why did he lie about so many other things? Why are they telling us staying 6 feet apart will magically protect us? Why are they counting deaths with and not just from COVID? Why are they putting infected patients in nursing homes when the population is the most vulnerable? Why are nursing homes residents being isolated, tortured, neglected, elder-sided with mesalam and deprived of visiting rights, even prisoners enjoy? Why are they instituting policies that WHO previously warned against, from lockdowns to masking to disinfection to border closures, because they are known to cause mass-scale harm, poverty, and even death? Why are they closing schools and later pushing injections on kids when children are at the least risk of contracting and spreading COVID? Why are they requiring children to mask, social distance, and follow other ineffective rules that impair their development, inflict psychological and emotional damage, and even cause physical harm? Why are they continuing to use ventilation for COVID patients when it was found early on to be causing deaths? Why is so much data not shared or being hidden from the public? Why are they financially incentivizing the administration of a drug found to cause multiple organ failure with no clinical efficacy for COVID? Why are hospital staff getting away with bagging COVID patients with plastic equipment covers to protect the workers? Thwarting of early treatment protocols. Why didn't they immediately start searching for treatments and researching the effectiveness of repurposed drugs per standard operating procedure? Why aren't they providing recommendations for at-home care and instead telling people to wait until their lips turn blue and then go to the hospital? Why are disinformation campaigns being launched against early treatment protocols? Why are doctors who prescribe these life-saving treatments being smeared and stripped of their licenses? Why is scientific fraud being committed to discredit the Nobel Prize-winning medications? Global mass injection experiment. Why are people okay with skipping long-term clinical trials for a novel gene therapy that's never been deployed on humans? Why are they embarking on a coercive global mass injection campaign when such a feat has also never been attempted, let alone with a genetic inoculation lacking long-term clinical safety data? Why aren't people bothered that pharmaceutical companies have zero liability for these products thanks to emergency use authorization? Why aren't people being told these are experimental? They are experimental subjects, and that Pfizer clinical trials won't be completed until March 31st of 2023. Why are they advising pregnant women to get injected with an experimental product when they excluded pregnant and breastfeeding women from clinical trials? Why did Pfizer and the FDA ignore the devastating injuries suffered by 12-year-old Maddie DeGray as a result of their clinical trial for adolescents? Why did the FDA want to hide the Pfizer clinical trial data from the public for 75 years? Why isn't the media shouting from the rooftops about the 1,223 deaths, 158,000 adverse effects, 1,291 side effects reported in the first 90 days of Pfizer's clinical trial, and only recently disclosed to the public due to FOIA requests resulting in the release at a rate of 55,000 pages per month? Why, for that matter, aren't the media, government, or regulatory agencies concerned about the 1,314,592 adverse event reports received by the CDC through June 24, 2022, including 29,031 deaths and 50,400 child reports? Why has the CDC never monitored its own adverse event reporting system for COVID injection safety signals, only discovering recently thanks to another FOIA request? Why isn't anyone concerned that they keep moving the goalposts for the injection, first promising it would set us free, then saying it's not working because of the evil unvax, then saying it loses efficacy after a few months and you need a booster shot, then saying you need a second booster shot, then saying you need it every 4 months? Why are there so many breakthrough infections? Why are the boosted at contracting COVID even more than the uninjected? Why does the immune system appear to suffer progressive destruction with each additional shot? Why are cancers exploding in the injection? Why are birth rates dropping around the world? Why are there so many miscarriages, stillbirths, fertility problems, and disabilities in the babies of injected mothers? Why are so many developing myocarditis and having heart attacks after injection? Why do they make it so difficult for medical staff to report adverse effects? Why are children, millennials, athletes, and other healthy people suddenly dying or becoming disabled? Why are pathologists finding 93% of those who die after injection were killed by the injection? Why are embalmers discovering mysterious worm-like strings in the corpses of the vaxxed? Why did such a cosmically unprecedented mass fatality rate start in 2021? So bad that they've had to make up sudden adult death syndrome to cover up from the reality that massive numbers of people are unexpectedly dropping dead. Why did life insurance companies pay out as much as 163% more for 18 to 64-year-olds, 258% more overall in 2021 over 2020? Why did a German insurance executive be fired for reporting alarming numbers of vax injuries? Why aren't people being given informed consent about the risks of antibody-dependent enhancement, blood clots, Bell's palsy, Guillain-Barré syndrome, cardiac diseases, and the innumerable other debilitating and fatal side effects? Why aren't the vaccine manufacturers making any efforts to improve their products to reduce mortality and adverse reactions? Why is it okay to keep pharmaceutical products in circulation despite historically unprecedented rates of death and injuries when before 2020? Such drugs would have been recalled as soon as a tiny handful of serious reactions had been reported. Why aren't the vaxxed more curious about what they've been injected with? Finally, why are so few people asking these questions, and why are they censoring us for asking them? After assessing and meticulously assembling thousands of pieces of evidence over the past few years, I've concluded the only logical answers to the above are, number one, profit. accomplishing the largest wealth transfer from the middle class to the super wealthy, super rich in history. Two, power, setting the stage for the Great Reset and a global technocratic one-world tyranny. And third, democide, reducing the population to save the planet. In his 1928 book, Propaganda, masterful consent engineer Edward Bernays revealed, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. This is a logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner if they are to live together as a smoothly functioning society in almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social conduct or our ethical thinking. We are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind. Most ordinary people cannot fathom the degree to which their beliefs and perceptions have been molded by the public opinion engineers, especially if they watch television and consume the mainstream media. They are stuck in Plato's cave and stubbornly refuse to believe the tales of those who have escaped the cave and returned to rescue them. They call the ones trying to liberate them from their deception conspiracy theorists, anti-vaxxers, right-wingers, fascists, because those are the scripts their programmers have installed to prevent them from questioning the illusion they are voluntarily imprisoned in. They merely need to take 5 minutes to review the data that is hiding in plain sight and open ears, but they aren't even willing to do that. Their captors are so confident that hypnotized will never awaken, they don't bother to conceal their corruption. You've heard of turtles all the way down? Well, this is corruption all the way down. Getting back to those three end goals I mentioned earlier, profit, power, and democide, Bernays and his fellow social engineers knew they had to work from the end goal backward. Want to capture women as a new consumer audience for cigarettes? Stage a Torches of Freedom demonstration at the 1929 Easter Parade with glamorous debutantes sporting cigarettes as a sign of women's liberation. Want to orchestrate a massive transfer of wealth? Get people to accept one world authoritarianism and knock off a good portion of the population while you're at it? Stage a pandemic and terrorize the public into relinquishing their liberty in the name of an illusory safety that will never arrive. Tell them the only way out is to accept a novel pharmaceutical product that governments, that is taxpayers, will be required to fork out billions of recurring dollars to fund. Decimate small businesses, evaporate jobs, wreck the economy, force the vassals to bend on the state for survival. Make them think it's all for the greater good. Despite one sucker punch after another, the deceived will cling to their belief in their Stockholm saviors and attack those trying to free them from their enslavement until their dying breath. Those who don't die immediately will generate a fortune in revenue for the pharmaceutical medical complex thanks to their lifelong vax injuries and ravaged immune systems. Pfizer, for example, reported a 77% increase in sales of Vindelicue, its product for treating transthyline amyloid cardiomyopathy in the second quarter of 2021. coincidentally, the injections appear to cause cardiac amyloidosis or stiff heart syndrome, according to a groundbreaking discovery by Dr. Jessica Rose, who will soon submit her paper on this research for peer review. Meanwhile, the noble liars will perpetuate the problem reaction solution hamster wheel until the requisite number of people have been eliminated or we stop the string pullers from completing their democidal agenda. They don't just want us to eat bugs. To them, we are bugs. Great Reset co-conspirator Prit Philip famously said, "In the event that I am reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus to contribute something to solving overpopulation." Rick Mayall tried to warn us about this in his 2014 film One by One before his sudden death at 56. In Letter to a Holocaust Denier, I map the 10 stages of genocide to the contemporary democide underway, citing menacing quotes from futurist and Francois Mitterrand special advisor Jacques Attal under number 9, extermination. Margaret Alice, Anna Alice Through the Looking Glass, Letter to a Holocaust Denier. Oh, things seep through somehow, always quietly, always indirectly, so people heard rumors and the rest they could guess. Of course, most people did not believe the stories of Jews or others, opponents of the regime. It was naturally thought such persons would all exaggerate. Rumors, guesses, enough to make a man know if he wanted to know or at least to believe, and always involving person would be suspected naturally of exaggerating. Goebbels, immediate subordinate in charge of radio in the propaganda ministry, testified at Nuremberg that he had heard of the gassing of Jews and went to Goebbels with a report. Goebbels said it was false enemy propaganda, and that was the end of it. The fact of the matter is, what Goebbels said was true. It was false. It was propaganda. And it's now been made a part of our permanent cultural heritage. We're supposed to believe the myth in order to support the influence of those who want to dominate us, representing very well the epitome of which is the Rothschild banking empire, no doubt in the belief that in Jewish superiority and that the Jews are entitled to rule over the other races or even to kill them with impunity. We're in a gruesome situation. But when you look around and you see 65 to 100 food processing plants or modes of production, including cattle, turkeys, chicken, are being decimated, that millions of the kinds of fowl that have kept us alive, that sustain our food supply, are being taken out. When you see the massive deaths and the casualties being caused, when you see the shortage in the food supply that's coming, the massive starvation that's about to descend upon us, you have to appreciate how thoroughly this was planned, how well it was mapped out. They used experts from every field. And when they have endless money, they can afford to spend endless money because they know in the end they're going to get it all back when they seize control of the totality of the world. When they seize control of the totality of the world, sad to say, that's the way things are right here today, 4 July 2022 in the USA. As Kerry Lake, who's running for governor of Arizona, has observed on Twitter, heart-wrenching 100-year-old veteran breaks down, cries for America. The things we did, the things we fought for, the boys that died for it, it's all gone down the drain. Our country has gone to hell. Boy, has he got it right. Our country has gone to hell. It's absolutely unbelievable. what's going on here. Our country has gone to hell. Perhaps I can pick it up.
I am so upset at the things we did and the things we fought for and the boys that died for it. It's all gone down the drain. Our country's gone to hell in a handbasket. We haven't got the country we had when I was raised. Not at all. Nobody will have the fun I had. Nobody will have the opportunity I had. It's just not the same. That's not what I was. That's not what they died for. It's not it. God, I'm so sorry. But I'll be all right. This takes me time to get over it.
I hate to say it, but he's got it right. We'll be right back after this break, and we'll take your calls.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the call-in number for anyone who would like to share their thoughts is 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. And, of course, no show would be complete without a call from California. Paul, join the conversation.
All right. I'll call in. It's happy July 4th. I sort of feel like with all the Paul shock therapy sessions I've subjected you to, that you had a relapse, you know, and none of them did any good. I was quite interested to hear a lot of the first hour, especially when you talk about the executive order that Trump signed and, you know, some of the moves that he made or was going to make. And I mean, that was compelling listening, and it is alluring. But in the end, I just have to remind you of what we're all up against and what he would be up against. Okay. He's up against the mob. Okay. A criminal syndicate, the monster. Okay. And you can't solve anything by executive order. It's just not going to work. It's naive beyond belief. It's like one of those things where, you know, let's say that you knew, I mean, we're all familiar with the Clinton body count. Okay. So let's say that you knew that you were on the short end of the Clinton list. Okay. What are you going to do as a man, as a sentient man who wants to continue to survive and live? I mean, you're just going to wait around to get whacked? I mean, you heard me use the term will to power before on the show, you know, when I said, okay, if Trump is real and he's authentic, then he either lacks the will to power, or he's afraid to use it, or he's on their team. To be honest with you, I don't really know, okay? But you do have to honestly assess the situation and say, if there is a machine, a corporate machine, a Jewish-backed, you know, money media, international business machine that manufactures a fake presidency like Joe Biden, then what can a man like Trump do with an election unless he takes over? Okay. And you know what I mean by that. I mean, he's got to arrest people. He's got to have people hung. He's got to have people shot. The American public would overwhelmingly support him if he was real. But I think too many of us now are aware of where he came from. Right. He was with these people. He was in bed with these people. He's done business with them. He borrowed money from them. So whether he's playing a role or not, I don't know. Part of me wants to believe that he might be authentic in some ways. So, OK, he couldn't fire Fauci. All right, fine. But he could have stepped to the microphone and said, don't listen to this punk. OK, he's nothing. I can't touch him. He's part of bureaucracy. But don't believe any of this nonsense. You know, he could have done things like that, but he went along. He signed the executive, the emergency orders that we're still under day 800 and something, right, of flattening the curve. I can go on like this. I just was going to make a suggestion, and I did it to Mitch in text. When you bring up so many topics, you're so well prepared. I admire you. It's obvious you spent time preparing for this show, thinking about what to say, raising all the issues you raised. But you can't put all that stuff on the table and then, like, leave a half hour for any kind of robust back and forth with other callers. And I kind of miss the old days of the show where there was multiple callers for a longer session. Well, all right, for the moment, I'll give it back to you.
Okay, Paul, thanks. I knew you were, for a certainty, going to make observations just as those you've just made. I certainly welcome alternatives point of view. I can only call it as I see it. I think this having signed this executive order is as strong a form of vindication as there could possibly be for those of us who have believed that Trump has had the best interest of the nation at heart. But he was handicapped. He was surrounded by persons who did not want him to succeed, including his attorney general. What could be more obvious now that Bill Barr is a phony and a fraud? It even appears that the Durham investigation was more of an appearance than it was a reality. And I cannot fault the man for not doing more than he was able to do under very adverse circumstances. And it's always easy to, you know, Monday morning quarterback, which you're so good at, Paul. I got to say, you're better at telling people how they should have done things as though to imply you would have done them any better than anyone I know. You are in a class by yourself in that regard. I myself take what I regard as a more realistic approach and appreciate the obstacles he had to overcome. For God's sake, he executed a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. He did it in something that would benefit the American people. He made America's economy thrive. He made us energy independent. He shut down the border, for God's sake. And he was going to gut the deep state. That's all heroic. In addition, he called out the fake news media. And Americans began to realize that they'd been manipulated and played, just as Paul Bernays was describing there. So I got to just say, Paul, I think you give him way too little credit and yourself way too much. That's how I see it.
Well, I don't know how I'm giving myself any credit for anything. I'm just making the obvious observation that many other people, I mean, you know, all the people that you've co-hosted with, I won't say every single one, but the vast majority of them agree more with me than with you. You know, they all think that you have a huge blind spot about Trump, and it's not just the vaccine. You know, the bottom line is, I just don't know what to say anymore. It's like
yeah, well,
one of these things where I call it, Can you? I know you want to respond. You had an hour and a half. I just wanted to raise the points I did. You know, we can go back and forth, but the bottom line is this. I just think that you are slightly delusional with Trump. It's a strong word, okay? It's just you don't want to admit what it is that we have, okay? And it's this huge machine. And now, admittedly, it's staffed with men, okay, but these men cannot be allowed to remain in power. I mean, Trump left these people in power. I mean, if we have a fake media that does what they do, and we all know what they do, there's only one way to stop it, right? We need an authoritarian regime, okay? People would have been behind Trump, and they still would, but I just don't think he is that authentic. I think that if he gets elected again, not much will change. He's not going to remove these people from power. Because in the end, he was with them. And as you may know, he has the media covered up his scandals with women. You know, he was accused in court documents of rape, right? We never heard about it.
Well, I can't begin to tell you how much I disagree with what you're saying here. I just don't like it. I don't agree. I respect your right to have the opinion. I give you plenty of time to come out on this show and air your views. And you fault me for using an hour and a half of my own show to present views that I consider to be important that everyone should understand. That's really insulting, Paul, and I don't like it. You just assume you are the center of the universe. If I'm wrong about Trump, I would be very surprised because I've given this a lot of thought. And I've been hearing all your happy horseshit about Trump. I've heard all the complaints, and I'm telling you, in spite of them all, I still believe the guy is out for the best for the American people. And I think you could not be more wrong. If he returns to government, he's going to implement that executive action, which is why the whole damn government, this whole deep state, is going to oppose him, and why the Democrats are going to do their very best to ensure that he's not reelected. I mean, that's what the whole January 6th thing is about, Paul, in case you haven't noticed, is that they are shitting bricks that Trump might come again and clean their clock.
Oh, yeah, right. Just like clean their clock.
Just one moment, Paul, and I'll give you another. I'm going to give you another shot, another bite at the apple. The strongest evidence that Trump is authentic is the massive resistance he's generated by those who are not. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's wrong for you to say anything to me in terms of fault you for an hour and a half. I just was making the statement. I'm not faulting you for anything, okay? But, you know, as far as you getting upset at me, look, I'm authentic in terms of what I present to you with my own thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Other people are more diplomatic. It's a skill that I probably could have used many other times in my life. They won't say to your face directly the way what I do, okay? But you know, I don't need to name these people, but they all disagree, and they don't see how you can't see, you know, the truth about Trump. So let's just leave that alone for a second, and let's just take a look at what the reality of what he's done and hasn't done. You look at all the people that he pardoned, people that he should have pardoned that he didn't, and the people that he did pardon. That just, in my opinion, that one thing just tells you about as much as you need to know about the man. So whether he comes back or not, I don't think it's going to make a damn bit of difference, because he won't end the Federal Reserve. He's not going to stop the media from lying, okay? He's not going to stop the chemtrailing and the geoengineering and all the things that the American people are aware of. And I don't know how many Trump supporters are aware of all these things, but there's a lot of Trump supporters that are living in a blind personality cult. I mean, that's really what it's become, a blind personality cult. And they don't know that much. I've talked to a few. Haven't talked to a great many, but I would imagine the sample size of Trump supporters I've talked to is indicative of the rule. And the rule is they're not that bright. I'm sorry.
Paul, this is the 4th of July. You've said your piece. I've heard it a dozen, 50 times, 100 times. So thank you. And I want you to enjoy the rest of the day. I've got a second caller on, and I want to give him his shot at all of this. So thank you for joining me today. Our caller from the 616 area code, please give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
Hi, Dr. Jim. This is Ken from Michigan. And
Good, Ken. Go ahead. Yes, speak.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with a lot with what Paul says. But we have to operate within the system of Jewish power. And I think one of the Third Reich ministers of propaganda said that the lies that the Jews tell are just going to fall in on itself. So Trump is the greatest political candidate and, you know, guy that's been on the scene since, you know, 2015 when he said he was going to run for president. And a lot of people didn't think he was going to win. And he did win. He beat Hillary, and he'll probably beat Hillary again because I heard Hillary wants to run again. So the mess that this government is right now, how they stole the election from Trump, and the chaos that is ensued with this fake president that's obviously a card-carrying member of the Communist Party, which is Jewish, and it's just all collapsing. So Trump's just going to come in again and bring it back. You know, I would hope that he could do it, and I think he can, because he does have the power of the people, you know, with him, because he is the best political candidate within the system that we operate in. Hell, I mean, you know, even though I was raised Roman Catholic, Irish Catholic, I know that the Jewish influence has me in a stranglehold. You know, my parents and everybody, all my schoolmates, you can't deny the Holocaust when you're around them. They look at you with like you're crazy, you know. And, you know, Patrick Little is a candidate that is great. Now he talks about Jewish power and he's the anti-Semitic rants that he goes on, but he doesn't have a chance, you know.
Well, I what I like about what you're saying, Ken, is it's, in my opinion, closer to my view in terms of surveying the alternative candidates. This man is connected with the American people in a way that I say I haven't seen since JFK for the reasons I've already elaborated. And I just think if you want to move forward, this is a guy who's already done good things for America. I expect he can do many more good things for America. It took him a while to size up how to deal with the deep state. He figured out how to do it. That's one of the reasons he was so massively defeated by all these forms of cheating. Virtually the entirety of the government was opposed to his continuance. because they put in the position where they could be fired for their acts of treason and betrayal of the American people. They didn't want that, so they rose up in opposition to him. And I respect Paul. This isn't a popularity among my colleagues and peers. I know that Giuseppe, I know Scorpio, I know a host of others all think that I'm wrong about Trump. But I'm just giving you my honest take based upon my experience. There isn't a political figure in America today who is connected with the American people and retains the affection they have. And I believe he is sincerely interested. We all know about his past. We all know he was a developer, a builder in New York. He was in construction. You got to deal with many different factions in New York. He never displayed an iota of racism. All of that is complete nonsense, utter bullshit. So far as I can see, notwithstanding all the temptations that came his way as a rich, famous, handsome playboy, I do not believe he abused it. I don't buy that he went on the Lolita Express. I think he's absolutely opposed to child trafficking and sex abuse. Jeffrey Epstein visited Mar-a-Lago. They had photos taken. Well, Donald Trump had his photo taken with everyone in the world to speak up. So there's nothing about that that warrants the kind of wholesale skepticism espoused by Paul and others. I don't buy it. I don't think it's realistic. I don't think it's justified. But they're entitled to their opinion. And I go out of my way to give them the opportunity to express it because I believe in freedom of speech. I believe in freedom of the press. I believe we all have to sort these things out. I'm just giving you on this occasion of the 4th of July, 2022, my take on where things stand. And it ain't good. But if there's anyone who's going to bring us out of it, it seems to me this is the guy. You are further.
Great. Yeah, Mike King also says that Trump's the real deal, and he also wrote a book about the war against Vladimir Putin. And so he has a lot of admiration for President Trump, and he would be great for you to talk with because his books are banned.
I think he's a completely brilliant guy. I mean, I love his stuff, the anti-New York Times and all that. That's just he's a brilliant satirist. And I'm really delighted you bring him up because I'm glad to know that another independent mind shares those sentiments. Look. I don't need Paul to elaborate Trump's flaws. We're all aware of Trump's flaws. I'm aware of Trump's flaws. They're pointed out to me every single damn time I speak about this, including by Paul. So, you know, there's nothing surprising. There's nothing new there. And I knew for a certainty today that given what I had to say, that Paul would want to come on and say exactly what he said. I knew it was coming. I was not wanting particularly to go off on that because I knew it would lead to contention between us on this solemn occasion because I feel there was so much in the stories I reported that I want everyone to reflect upon. But I welcome.
Go ahead. I can just pose a juxtaposition here. So again, you know, it's not contention. It's just we're on different sides of the fence here. I think I see things, and you think you see things. It's just the way it is. But let me just bring this up, all right? So you know that the oil depletion allowance was one of the supposed reasons why the oil companies and big business had it in for Kennedy, right? Among the multiple reasons, perhaps, that he was assassinated. Which, okay, back then and even today, you know, corporate power rules, right? I mean, we're dealing with a corporate machine. But yet you bring forward the idea that Joe Biden can just shut down the petroleum industry and curtail production. You know, he has no power at all. See, this is a corporate agenda. And, you know, for you to say, oh, Trump, you know, made us energy independent, you know, not at all. I just don't see why you don't see these things that are easy to see in terms of what I call the perspective or the juxtaposition, that we're living in essentially a Jewish-controlled corporate machine. They make the rules. They call the shots. They put the people up on stage. Did Trump single-handedly wreck and take over the Republican Party? Okay, maybe, right? But once he was in there, right, I'm not the only person that says that he failed to fulfill many of his promises and his agenda. So that's all I'm pointing out, is I just think it's a false hope. I hope you're right. You know, I'll tell you that. I hope you're right. Okay?
Well,
but my betting money says the opposite side. It's unfortunate.
Paul, I accept that. We'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, Biden, good God, what did he do? He canceled the XL pipeline permits to drill on federal land. He's done everything he can. He's opened the borders. He's flooded us he's destroyed the American military. He's part and parcel of the food supply. He's just a puppet, Paul. His strings are being pulled. Barack Obama, George Soros, the Rothschilds, all behind what's going on here in the USA. Sad to say.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I agree with
Biden,
all that.
We both agree. Biden is a simulacrum, right? Biden is a simulacrum. We both agree on that.
In a pathetic, totally fraudulent in every regard, not even the actual senator from Delaware. But Paul,
right.
I appreciate the manner of your comments today. They are well expressed and they are moderate in tone, and I compliment you for that. That is welcome, and I appreciate it. Let me get Ken back here from Michigan for a few further thoughts, Paul. Ken, go ahead. Add a few of your own.
Yeah, well, Mitch does a great job in showing what Trump is up against. You know, we all know what he's up against, and now all the Brutus have put the knife in his back that allowed this fraud to become president and do the damage that he did. So everything is, you know, he doesn't have his popularity is down the crapper, and everything that he does is. And so I think pretty much that Trump will come in as a landslide, and that's what we need. And the restoration will be to bring back, you know, to operate still within what we've got, you know, the beauty of America. And then hopefully we can have that again, you know, just to make America great again.
That's right. And by the way, I've been predicting we're going to have a mass shooting on a weekly, if not a daily basis. And I just have a report, at least 5 dead, 16 wounded in mass shooting at Illinois July 4th parade. The shooting is described as a bloodbath. They're going to have these, I'm telling you, right up to the election. It's not going to do any good, because Americans now are not going to give up their guns. Every time there's been one of these mass shootings and threats to take our guns, millions of Americans have gone out and bought guns, new gun owners. It's been true for the last 10 or 12 months, virtually the entirety of the Biden administration. When the Democrats began with their absurd proposal to defund the police, I think the American people got the message that if you can't count on the police, there's no one you can count on but yourself. And Americans are not going to give up their guns, but the Democrats are going to do their best. And there are going to be many staged events. I haven't looked enough at this just to say the timing obviously is very appropriate. If it is a staged event, it will not surprise me. On the other hand, I fully acknowledge that sometimes we do have bona fide shootings. It's just at Sandy Hook, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, Buffalo, Uvalde. None of those were legitimate. All of those were staged. I've done massive research and publication on all of those, and they don't have the least glimmer of truth about them. They're all phony, fake, and orchestrated. And DHS is in a big business here with communities. They enrich in communities to go along. They're all signed gag orders. They can't talk about it. They're rewarded as long as they play along. They're punished if they don't. Some persons have actually been taken out because they were going to reveal or didn't like playing along with this. So it's going to keep up right up to the midterm. But I believe the most probable outcome is going to be a new pandemic. Biden's already talking about the threat of a second pandemic. He's telegraphing. He's fumbling in his manner, but he's getting the point across. We got about a minute apiece for each of you, Paul. Go ahead. A minute, Paul, yours.
Okay, I know it's not ever enough time. So these shootings, it's another perfect point to make. Okay, so you don't think that the administration, the government, whoever is president, has the resources available through the FBI, through the Department of Justice, through any number of agencies to uncover this production company, okay, this theater troupe that's going around staging these fake shootings, and to arrest them. See, this is the kind of machine that we're dealing with. It's power. It's raw power. That's all it is. And it can only be opposed by force. And I just don't see any politician, especially Trump, doing that. Okay.
Paul, the DHS is running these. I mean, get it through your head, man. These are government productions. The DHS running them through FEMA. They're doing these things. They're called capstone events. They pay off the community. The members of the community, the prominent members of the community, are in on it. Paul, I'm glad for all your comments today. I want to give Ken, we only got 30 seconds. Ken, your final thoughts today.
Yes, it's all death before dishonor, and those that were not loyal to Trump will show that. And then we're loyal to the Trump presidency, so we want to see him come back again. And then that loyalty will be with us, and we could bring our country back.
Well, Ken, I want to thank you and Paul both for calling in. I want to thank everyone out there in the Revolution Radio audience. This is a wonderful institution, Revolution Radio. I support it 100%. Enjoy the rest of the day with your family, friends. Spend as much time as you can with those you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left. Happy 4th of July, 2022.
Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...